Welcome back to the Better Results Podcast, where we share expert insight and advice to help business owners achieve better results. My name is Aaron Pfeiffer, business engineer at Obsidian Solutions. If you're looking to grow your company strategically while reducing its operational costs, stay tuned in and check out our show notes for more information on this episode. Looking for more great content? Check us out at the Better Results blog, join our newsletter, or start a conversation with us on social media. Now, let's jump into today's episode. Hello, everyone, and thank you again for joining us for another episode of the Better Results Podcast. I am your host, Aaron Pfeiffer, and today we are talking about selling your business, something that most business owners don't really consider until it's time to do it and they're a little behind on the ball game. So I'm joined today with Gary Goldwasser. He's a business broker with Transworld Business Advisors, and his hometown is right here at Denver, Colorado. Love to hear that. More natives. We need them coming back and getting rid of some of these foreigners right from Denver, don't we? So a business broker ultimately buys and sells businesses. It's just like a broker for your car, right?
Or a real estate broker by selling a home.
Right, all of that. So Gary's background as well is not just in brokering businesses, but as running and being a small business owner himself. And with that, Gary, why don't you jump in and tell us a little bit of background of the businesses that you worked with and how you got started with Transworld? Because it's kind of an interesting story.
Great. Well, thanks, Aaron, for having me. So, been in business management for, over 27 years and always had this entrepreneurial spirit. So back in 2000, I started looking at businesses to buy. Always wanted to be a business broker as I was doing my research. Purchased my first business in 2005, and then the next one in 2010, and then the final one in 2012. Since that time, I've sold those businesses. But again, going through that process, I really had a passion for helping small businesses and being an advocate for them. And so, being a business broker just seemed like it was in my wheelhouse, and had the opportunity to join Transworld as a business broker, and now coming up on almost 3 years of being a business broker, and absolutely love what I do. I'm passionate about small business. I'm passionate about making, putting the right buyers and sellers together.
Well, and I think in our interactions that we've had and sitting down with a prospective client and all of that, what I really enjoy about working with you on the business brokerage standpoint is you're so educational, how you like to share and educate, and that's what brings us to this podcast here today. Is I think you've got some really great insights on what you should be doing to prepare to sell your business. It's not just one day put a sign out the window and say the business is for sale. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. So why don't you start by explaining for us, for those out there that are listening right now that have never sold a business before, What does that entail? Why do I need a business broker in the first place, or why do they exist?
Right. Well, a lot of people don't even know that a business broker is available to them. They don't, like, how do I sell my business? Do I put a sign in the window? Do I just tell my friends? So we're able to come in and really focus on finding great buyers. We're really a matchmaker, quite honestly. We're finding buyers that match with the sellers. We do it confidentially, and so when you write, a real estate broker might tell the whole world that, hey, this house is for sale. In our world, we want to not tell clients. We don't want to disclose that to vendors or to their employees. So it's confidentiality is our number one thing when you sign on with us. We do everything behind the scenes. We want you to keep running your business as successful as it has been, and us working behind the scenes to find that right buyer for you.
Well, that's interesting. It's a good point that if you're trying to sell your business, the last thing you potentially want is your employees to know that you're leaving, or that your customers. Well, right. Now you're all of a sudden not going to be there forever for them. So maybe I should be shopping around. All of that could diminish the value of the business
itself.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times the seller will say, I know I'm getting ready to sell my business, so I'm not going to work as hard, or I'm going to not do any more of the marketing strategies that I always have been. And that sometimes ends up hurting them, because when the buyer gets ready to get additional final financials, they'll see that the business has had a decline because they've taken the foot off the gas. So
right.
We try to do things that, hey, do you just run your business? We do it confidentially. We have the largest buyer pool in Colorado. We have our buyer pool is close to 12,000 buyers.
Oh, wow.
So we're marketing very aggressively to help people sell their businesses.
Well, yeah, I mean, Transworld in general, I know I'm on your guys' newsletter list and some of the other areas that you guys provide great content and the Denver Business Journal, mm-hmm. I think I've seen postings and articles and all of that, very, very prevalent and everything else. So tell me a little bit in regards to that, and here we are specifically in the Denver market, but what industry trends are you seeing right now? And especially today, it's very, very important because we're starting to see maybe some cracks in the economic markets mm-hmm. and everything else. What kind of macro trends are you seeing or should we be watching for?
Well, one of the great reasons about being a business broker here today is that we're in a baby boomer retirement stage. So we have all these baby boomers that have had their businesses for 10, 15, 20 years. They're in their late 40s to almost 70 years old, and they've done the same things. They've, you know, had this widget company that's been manufacturing things and doing a great job, but they don't know how to sell their business. And so there is a prediction, you know, in every given moment, there's about 25,000 businesses nationally that are for sale at any given point. There's statistics out there that say between now and 2025 that number will go up as four times that amount.
Wow.
That'll be because of all these baby boomers looking for an exit strategy. So the market is still strong for sellers. Sometimes we see sellers try to wait and predict, you know, when to sell, but we're a big believers is that if your business is doing good and growing and it's making money, you know, and you're at that age, think about making that investment in selling your business and looking at your exit strategy other than waiting till, you know, there's a little bit of decline. And your business may not be worth as much.
Right, right. It's better to go out on top while you're still growing, while it's still expanding, if you're close on that side. If it starts to withdraw and start to fall down, then all of a sudden everyone's going to start looking more closely at the numbers and, well, is this a great investment?
Right.
Should I be buying into this if it's starting to tank?
And right now the sellers are getting good premiums for their businesses. But again, as the economical downturn starts to change and that environment starts to change, they're not going to get the multiples that they were getting on their business, you know, in, you know, the next maybe 2 to 5 years.
And that's something good to talk about. Explain to us a little bit more, what do you mean by multiples and why
Sure.
is that important?
When we go to figure out how to value a business, we're going to take into consideration a multitude of factors. But the financial factor component goes into taking what the net is that a business makes, plus the compensation of the owner, plus any personal add backs. We take that number and then use a multiplier to figure out what that business is worth. Most businesses will trade between 2 and 3 times that number, but that's not always the case. Again, there's other factors that'll go into play. For instance, if the owner is the only guy running the business, well, it's probably gonna trade at a less multiple than someone that has processes in place, has employees in place, and he's not the main person, you know, a part of that business.
Right, right. Well, and this is another key point, is if you're a sole proprietor owner, for you to step away, can the business still operate?
Absolutely, yeah.
I love to bring up all the time to people, well, can you as the business owner today, if you took a 3-week vacation, would this business still run?
Right.
And if not, well, you can't sell your business either.
Right.
You might be able to sell part of it, but mm-hmm. part of the negotiation is the owner probably has to stay on board and continue to make that transition until they are capable to move that on.
That's correct, yeah.
So what are some other really cool tips or things that business owners should be considering? Not only if they can't take a 3-week vacation, but what other ideas come to mind that your clients are always shocked about?
Yeah, one of the probably the top one is, what do their financial books look like? I can tell you that we see sellers with napkin financials. We see them on a 3-ring notebook. We see stuff like that. They really need a financial software program like a QuickBooks or some other accounting software. And they should have that. Any business should have that. I don't care what size you are, you should have something like that.
Right.
And we see 50% of them that don't have it. That's on an Excel spreadsheet, maybe. Get to at least an Excel spreadsheet would be would be good in a lot of cases. Having processes in place, having a good number two guy so that you can step away is probably pretty good. Is the business clean? Is it, you know, I sold a business a while back, and the sellers had a kitchen sink in the front yard of their business. And I said, look, people, the buyers see stuff like that. I'm like, you need to get rid of the kitchen sink. So stuff like that, having your warehouse organized, having good numbers and good inventory.
Just being presentable in general, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, it's just like they say, a house that actually has furniture in it that has been set, that sells better, usually gets a higher number because people can see it's clean, it's been taken care of. It's harder to do that when it's got a sink in the,
right.
the front entryway.
Right. So a lot of those things, is the business scalable? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the value to a buyer? You know, if you're doing everything and it's making good money, that's great and they can take it over. But if there's not any scalability for them to go to that next level, you know, where's the value? For instance, you know, we see some of these baby boomers selling their business and they haven't done anything for their website, or they haven't done any online marketing. Well, to a buyer, that's a value that they can take the business to the next level. They can provide the website or online ordering or anything like that.
Right.
Do they have a sales team? Maybe they don't have, maybe it's only been, you know, maybe, you know, some of these owners say, well, I haven't made a cold call ever, it's just been on referrals. Well, what if you added a sales guy, or what if the new potential buyer was a sales guy?
Right.
Just think of the value again for the buyer to go into that business.
Well, if the business runs perfectly, you've got great systems and operations and no sales, but then a salesman comes in to buy the business, for them, how beautiful is that? They just show up, and if they can sell, which they can, now the business takes care of it, and it's free money for them.
Yep.
That adds to your multiplier, in a sense, if you have the right buyer.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. So tell me, I think it's always great to have a great example, and I would love to hear one or two examples of a client that you've worked with from start to finish, soup to nuts. How does that process look, and what is an engagement like that to sell my business or to even buy a business, maybe one and the other? What does that process really look like? What's the time commitment, maybe the cost, what other issues come up, et cetera?
Well, good question. So, gosh, in a lot of cases, you know, we have a process that we follow. And because we're so aggressive in our marketing to sell your business, you know, it first starts with gathering the information. I go and I sit down and I want to learn about the business. I want to know, you know, how many employees are there? What makes good marketing? What were the key things that the owner is doing? What is the industry trends? What do their financials look like? So we gather all that information and we create a basically executive summary of what your business, in a snapshot, what it might look like.
Right.
And then we take that and we go to market. We market on 30 different websites across the country. You know, people want to move to Denver all the time. And so I have inquiries probably weekly of someone, hey, I just quit my job. I want to move to Denver. What kind of businesses do you have to sell? And so the business, so we do gather all that information, we vet out the buyers, and we're going to get buyer inquiries, and we vet all those out. Again, I want the seller to just keep doing their business. This is me in the background doing all of this. We vet out buyers and make sure that they're qualified, both from a financial perspective, but more importantly, is it a good fit?
Right.
You know, let's not jam a buyer into a seller and a seller into a buyer. Let's make sure that it's, because they're going to be working together during the transition, and most sellers want to see their legacy move on, so let's find the right buyer. So I'll vet out the buyers, I'll have them sign an NDA, and then I'll provide that information, and they'll come back with some questions. We'll probably have a meeting between the buyer and seller if it's a fit, and then we'll take next steps for letters of intent, mm-hmm. purchase agreements, and then go into closing. And once we have a letter of intent, we usually try to have that business closed within 30 to 60 days.
Okay.
But from the time I sign on a listing, it usually, on average, across the country, 6 to 9 months it takes to sell a business. So early on, I'm very, you know, I let the seller know, be patient with the process. You know, if nothing happens in 30 to 60 days, don't panic. It's just, this is this normal structure.
Right.
And I have countless examples of businesses where crickets for 5 months, and then 3 or 4 or 5 inquiries for that business all at one time.
Wow.
So it's a process. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, we usually get at least 80 to 90% of what their asking price is in most cases. And, you know, hopefully people have a good experience when that transaction is completed.
Right. Well, I appreciate you giving the timeline of that, because I think a lot of people consider, especially in Denver, shoot, selling a house used to be the thing that took the longest thing to do, and now you get an offer right. The first week it's on the market. Right. The business isn't going to be that way between the due diligence, getting all the material together, advertising the business, and as you pointed out, advertising it in such a way that your employees and your vendors and et cetera won't see that. So you can continue to get that profitability. And for 9 months, potentially, this entire process just to sell the business takes time.
Right.
You can't just plan on getting out. And if you are going to get out, it's going to be a fire sale, and you're going to have to sell the business for a little more than it's worth.
Right.
As I've sat down with clients before, and we'll have the conversation about, you know, if you don't have the processes, and if you're going to have to sell this business right off the bat, and it's losing money for the last 2 or 3 years, who's going to want to buy it? There is no business. There's some assets, some used assets that you can sell for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
But the real value in that multiplier is having the books, having the process, and still growing the business all throughout that, right?
And being, you know, a lot of buyers need financing to get deals done too. Mm-hmm. And so when you have declining revenue and it's not making any money, banks aren't going to look at that kind of deal, even though you, as the buyer, may be financially strong. If the business you're buying isn't strong, chances are it's not going to be lendable. So then it ends up being an issue of, you know, seller financing and an all-cash deal, which in some cases a buyer might have the cash, but in a lot of cases buyers don't have, you know, that kind of money maybe to make the full purchase.
Right. Well, and so that's another interesting point. What, when you see that type of financing and that type of lending, mm-hmm. are there any other special terms that have to be met? As, you know, a house, they say 20% down is ideal.
Right.
What does that look like?
So with the SBA, you can put down as minimal as 10 to 15%. So on a $1 million deal, you're talking about $100,000 or $150,000, mm-hmm. you know. And then the seller usually participates in some injection of 10% or so too. So there's a little bit of skin in the game for the sellers to help in the transition and make sure it's good. So a lot of that happens. But then there's deals where the bank can't do any. Let's, you know, an example might be, you know, I always say, okay, if you had $100,000, here's your three options you can do with $100,000. You can buy a business that's $100,000.
Yeah.
Okay, you have no debt, no debt service to pay back, and you're probably making $30,000-$40,000 a year. That's it.
Right.
You can take that $100,000 and you can do a combination of putting seller financing, so you could buy a $200,000 business, $100,000 down, and then a note from the sellers for 2 to 3 years for the remaining $100,000. So you're buying a $200,000 business, and it's probably making $70,000 to $80,000 a year that you take home. Or you can buy a $800,000 or $900,000 business with $100,000 down,
right,
and get a loan from the SBA, And then now you're talking about, you know, a business that's probably making $200,000 or $300,000 a year. So it's amazing what you can do with $100,000 depending on how, what your risk adverse is, right, and what your options are. So you have three options, basically.
Gotcha. So is SBA the preferred way then to go for some of these smaller businesses, or conventional, or what's some of the differences when you're looking at that?
SBA is 9 times out of 10 what most people do for businesses over a couple $100,000 in what their asking price is up. It's the SBA up to $5 million. Anything below that, there's usually a combination of buyer all cash or a combination of buyer-seller. Gotcha. Financing.
Gotcha. And correct me if I'm wrong, SBA, for those that don't know, that's just the Small Business Administration. That's a federal program, actually, right, that helps secure that loan. Similar to what FHA would be for mm-hmm. home lending, essentially.
So basically, in other words, if there was $1 million business, the SBA would cover 75% of that if the bank defaulted. Mm-hmm. And so the bank makes up its difference by that injection from the buyer and the seller.
Right.
So its exposure is not that bad for a bank. And quite honestly, hardly any of them default. I mean, the default rate's pretty low.
That's good.
And seller financing, another point, is the default rate is low on that. Only 3% of seller financing deals end up defaulting.
Wow, that's so impressive. Why do you think that is?
Well, they're committed to it, number one. You know, most people do all of their homework ahead of time. There's due diligence involved where the buyer is actually checking everything out. And it's personally guaranteed. So if there's assets on the business, the seller will get those back. Or if not, they would go after the buyer personally for, you know, if they had a house or
right.
any other assets they might have.
Right. So skin in the game. So let's make sure this works and it takes off. And again, everybody wins.
Absolutely.
Is really the big deal at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one point, and again, I like to harp on this, obviously, maybe more than I should, but this is a pretty time-intensive process. Just from the standpoint of, you probably want at least 2 to 3 solid years of financials,
mm-hmm.
and ideally it's all progressive and you're making more money every mm-hmm. year, at least consistent,
mm-hmm.
so you can get a good valuation. Then it's the process of actually selling the business, which, as you said, could be 6 to 9 months, and then on top of that, potentially, you may still be in the business for a year, 2 years, 3 years, making that transition if you don't have a good, clean process, right?
Right. Generally, what we see is we ask the seller to have, they've got to gather some information early on in the process when they, you know, engage with us. And then there's a time when we're doing all the interviews, and then there's the due diligence process where the seller is going to have to provide even more information on top of that. Could be bank statements, W-2s of employees, could be a bunch of stuff like that. But once we close on a deal, we don't just drop the keys off and say, okay, you know, have at it. Generally, there's a transition time, depending on the complexity of the business. Most businesses are 30 to 60 days of a transition period,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe phone calls available for the remaining 3 or 4 months on a 6 months. If it's a technical business, they may ask for 6 months, but generally what we find is the buyer asks for 6 months, and 2 or 3 months into it, they're ready. They're like, you know what, I think I got this, Mr. Seller.
Right.
Can you be available for an email or a phone call? But other than that, I think I got it.
Gotcha.
So generally, they don't go more than a year, and actually, the SBA doesn't allow for over a year.
Oh, okay. That's another good piece of info. Yeah. So we're running low on our time here. That's our reminder there. But
mm-hmm.
let me ask you, any kind of other closing thoughts or any of your notes or anything else that you'd really like to take a time to go ahead and point out? And
so probably the biggest question we get from the sellers is, how much is my business worth? And so in my first meeting with a seller, I sit down with them, I learn about their business, I ask a lot of questions, I ask them to provide me with, you know, year-to-date financials.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I meet with them, I get a good snapshot of what I think the business would sell for in the market and see if that matches of what their expectations are of selling, of what they want to sell the business for. And
right.
then, you know, they're going to want to know our fee, you know, is very competitive in the market. We usually try to take a little retainer for our marketing efforts that we'll do up front in a lot of cases. Some cases we don't, but that's usually our process. And then, you know, I feel like one of the things you really, you know, we market stronger, we're knowledgeable about the industry and the businesses. Chances are we've sold a business like yours. And because of our buyer pool, again, in my, you know, we talked about, you know, I'm a native of Denver. Well, I'm pretty well networked in the city.
Right.
And so chances are when I meet with a seller, I already have a buyer in mind for that business right off the get-go, just because of the networking I've done, the relationships I've built, the buyer pool that I have to help them get that business closed quicker.
Right. Wow. Yeah, it's fantastic. And you know, as a third party out to all of that, I have to second that. I have seen Transworld a little bit of everywhere, good marketing, good buyer pool. And it's not just buying and it's buying and selling. You guys mm-hmm. play both sides of that. So you always have an evergreen market for either buyers or sellers, whichever side you're playing.
I'm constantly meeting with buyers and learning about what they're looking for and seeing if I can match them with our 180 listings we have. You know, our nearest competitor might have 20 listings. We have 180. So much more inventory for us to offer them. But then we also help business from a strategic standpoint of maybe wanted to acquire. Their business is growing and they want to acquire a business. So we help with that as well.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, Gary, I appreciate everything that you've shared with us here today. Any last closing thoughts before I ask you for some contact information for everyone?
You know, it's just, you know, as sellers, when they think about selling their business, just, you know, I'm more than happy. I'm a big guy of sitting down and grabbing a cup of coffee with people. I make kind of a joke about it. I love to grab good coffee. And so I'm more than happy to sit down with them. If they're a year, two, 3 or 5 years out, that's fine. I just want to provide education for them so I can help them make a good decision and to be thinking about what that extra strategy is going to look like.
Right. So. Right. Awesome. Well, if people are curious to learn more and talk to you further about this, what is a great way for them to reach out and get in touch?
Yeah, the best ways to reach me is my phone number is 303-748-7420 or email me at Gary@tworlddenver.com. So that's tworlddenver.com. And then, you know, you can visit our website at tworlddenver.com and you can look at all of our listings. And then if you have questions about them, I'm more than happy to walk you through and guide you through that process.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Aaron.
You've been listening to the Better Results Podcast with your host, Aaron Pfeiffer, and sponsored by Obsidian Solutions. If your business is looking to optimize its operations while boosting profitability, check us out at ObsidianSolutionsLLC.com. Comments on the show or interested to be a guest, contact us at the Better Results Podcast at ObsidianSolutionsLLC.com. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Cheers to achieving your better results.